This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon, thanks for being here. We cover a lot of different things around the Umpqua Valley today. You are officially in science class. We're going to talk about a proposal from Forest Bridges about the ONC lands. And we've got the executive director, Denise Barrett, and co-founder and board member, Rick Sohn. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you.
So I guess, first of all, Denise, when this hit my email box, I initially looked at how many, just about ready to hit print.
Yeah.
There was like two attachments, and I hadn't looked too closely, and I started to hit print. And then it said 131 pages.
Yeah.
And I decided I would hit the smaller four-page version initially because this goes really deep. And I think one of the things about your organization is it sounds like so much thought goes into what you're putting together that it does require 131 pages to explain just what it is you think should be done here.
Yeah, so, this paper that has come out, our Moist Forest Proposal for the ONC lands of Western Oregon, is designed to be able to synthesize the consensus science. We integrate and weave in indigenous knowledge and practice, field practitioner, experience, as well as some innovative ideas. And with that, and really the true audience is the land management agencies for the ONC lands, which include the Bureau of Land Management and the Forest Service. It's also for the lawmakers. This is a core product that we offer to these constituents to be able to help us improve the conditions on these forests and conditions across environmental, economic, and community benefits.
So kind of give us an overview of what this proposal would like to do.
Yeah, so I think the overarching thing for Forest Bridges is that, we're not just throwing it out just to throw it out and be difficult. We're actually coming from a history, decades actually, of looking at the polarization and the conflict around managing federal lands. And we our founders chose, and Rick's here with us today, chose, the ONC lands for a particular reason, which he'll get into in a little bit. But essentially, we're trying to come up with what are the real solutions. Last time I talked with you, Kyle, we went into a little bit about the existing polarization, the political, pendulum swinging this way and that way. And they're really going in extremes. And we are coming down the middle with what are reasoned solutions, again, based on the science, indigenous knowledge, and other factors to improve the lands, to improve the outcomes, which are now, we see, both the BLM and the Forest Service coming out and saying that wildfire in the moist forests is the number one cause for the decline of northern spotted owl habitat. And we know that the reserve system in which those decisions were made in terms of protecting that species are not working. And so we take a much more multi-species approach.
And talk about, first of all, maybe define what a moist forest is. I don't think everybody would know that.
Yeah, Kyle, I'll approach that question. The moist forest lands are those forest lands in Western Oregon that basically get more precipitation. So you might ask, more than what? Well, they're generally lands located like in the Coast Range or the foothills of the Cascades, and they're generally north of Roseburg, whereas lands more south of Roseburg into the Medford area and so forth. Those are dry forest lands.
And looking at this, in fact, you would be a good person to ask about this. How does this tie in with looking at the ONC Act going clear back to 1937?
Well, the reason that Forest Bridges, when we were founded, that we actually chose to work on the ONC lands rather than the Forest Service lands in general was that the ONC Act itself calls for the harvest of timber. So when we came together as a collaborative, we didn't have to talk about, are we going to harvest or aren't we? We said, how are we going to harvest and how can we do it that helps the habitats and the long-term sustainability of these forests?
So What do you think the benefits would be if this proposal is used?
Well, it cuts across again because we look through the lens of environmental, economic, and community benefits, and so it's going to improve first and foremost the sustainability of those forests in terms of their health and multi-species habitats. It's also going to allow for improvements in what we call ecosystem services, which are clean air, clean water, but it also includes more timber production in balance again with our approaches. And other outcomes that I think the public really wants to see. It's really a multi-species, a multi-use is what we call it, interpretation of the ONC Act.
So what went into creating this proposal?
Rick, do you want to take that
sure.
one? Because I think
so
from the beginning.
we brought folks together from interests in timber and interests in real strong conservation to see what we could find that we could agree on. And we found a lot of those things, and we ultimately put together a document called our Principles of Agreement, or the things we could agree on.
But it's not that easy.
It's not that easy, and it took thousands of hours of our time working to understand each other's perspectives and try to forge an approach among all the options that are out there of what is it that really works? What are the pieces that we can agree on that need to happen in the forest?
Do you feel like your group is kind of unique in how broad you are?
Yes. We are the only group that we are aware of working on policy in a collaborative way on these ONC and BLM managed lands. There are a number of collaboratives operating the Forest Service, but those are on specific projects. How are we going to do this project? How are we going to do that project in this small area? Ours is a large policy look at all of the aspects of the management of these lands. And by the way, these ONC lands are both in the BLM, but they're also a portion of them managed by the Forest Service.
And Denise, talk about this, especially when you think about the future, but we also look over the last few years, being 5 years after Archie Creek here in a couple weeks.
Yeah, you know, we do have, thanks for letting us promote our In the Landscape concert that will be held on September 9th. We're looking at, if you go out to that area of the Archie Creek fire footprint, you will see that, you'll see a sea of snags. Not that snags are a problem, but there was even an article that came out today that was showing Portland State University has studied the islands of live trees that were remaining in the five megafires of not only Archie Creek being one of those, but across the landscape of that across our western side of the state here, and they were showing that even the what they call refugia or the residual old growth forests there and other pieces of forest that survived, they're dying. And we don't have a seed source. And so we don't have a regenerative process going on in those lands. And that would be something that we would oppose in terms of, you know, we do want to see the post-fire regeneration. We have a strategy for that even.
And by the way, you mentioned it. Why don't we take a second to talk about that concert a little bit more?
Sure. Yeah. So In a Landscape is an organization that that comes to communities like ours and to beautiful landscapes, usually, and partners with the donors and organizations like ours to be able to put on a concert. So In a Landscape, we'll have a concert. It's a pianist that will be bringing a Steinway piano out to the Mill Pond Creek area and be able to play from 5 to 6:30. People can come early. Tickets are $45. You can get them on inalandscape.org. But essentially, it will allow us and another local nonprofit, the Family Development Center, to be able to have some exposure among the public. There's a ticket limit of 230. We're not quite there, sold out. So we'd really like to continue and encourage people to buy tickets.
All right. And again, what's the date for that?
September 9th. From 5 to 6:30, and folks can arrive early at 4 o'clock. If you go to the inalandscape.org website, you'll be able to see more about the concert details and what you need to do to prepare for that and buy tickets.
All right, we're going to talk more about this proposal when we come back on Inside Douglas County, the interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. It is 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Forest Bridges has put out a ONC Lands Moist Forest proposal, and we're talking about that with Denise Barrett and Rick Sohn from the organization. Now, there's a line in here that you can explain about removing most of the reserves. That's one of the things that's mentioned. I guess explain, Rick, what that means and why you're advocating for that approach.
So what Forest Bridges actually came up with was a proposal for managing these moist forest lands, and really all of the ONC lands, that makes a major shift in approach, a paradigm shift. And what we're doing, we're saying instead of setting the land aside in some reserves and some heavily managed areas and so forth, that we rather say all the lands can be managed, but set very strict limits on how much timber can be harvested and strict specifications for how thinning should be done. And then let the agencies, the BLM and the Forest Service, figure out where they want to apply these thinning and harvest treatments, knowing that they only have a limited amount of harvest that they can do. And so where's the best place?
And what kind of response do you think that'll get?
Well, we've gotten considerable positive response. But as you pointed out, this we've just put this paper out. So folks who have dived in and read our materials really like it. It's not the easiest stuff to just dive into like an exciting novel.
Yeah, and I'd like to add, you know, before we put out this paper in the last year and a half, we participated very diligently in land management planning processes, including for the Cascade-Siskiyou National Monument, for the Northwest Forest Plan, and for others. That, in other words, we our strategies were under development, pretty you know, ready to go. So we adapted them for those different planning processes. And then, as you know, and you mentioned it in our last conversation, Kyle, was that we put out our legislative concepts, which again are based on those. So we have always, as a collaborative, said we try to work as much as we can through the planning process to see what change can happen. But we also know that a lot of things will need a legal change or the laws to change to remove the barriers that currently are in the way.
Now, one of the things mentioned as well was increased tribal co-management of the ONC lands. Talk about that.
Yeah, well, tribal partners have been our partners from the very beginning in this collaborative, and there's a lot of references in our technical strategies to what we call pre-contact indigenous period in terms of the conditions of the forest back then. That's really a sort of a step-by-off point for the way that we develop a lot of our objectives and our strategies, and that means in simple terms, what were the forests and the lands like during the pre-contact indigenous period when the tribes stewarded those lands? What were the species like? What were the spacing of trees? What was, you know, all the factors that would be on the ground? And then what were the fire regimes? You know, because of the wider spacing of trees, the diversity of trees that really met up with fire resistance and fire resilience. And so that's in part what shapes us from a technical point. And then as partners, we also believe that they were managing just like in many ways the way that we're proposing and need to continue to be a part of that and increase presence in terms of the co-management of the BLM and Forest Service lands.
And yeah. Do you feel like taking this tribal perspective is something that helps sort of bring both sides of this together?
We think we do. You know, I think. But sometimes we see even some renowned scientists that don't even talk about it. But, you know, with the Moist Forest paper, too, I wanted to mention that the science around fire regimes and fire ecology has been advancing so much in recent years. The work of Andrew Mershall, for example, who's the co-director of the Tree Ring Lab at OSU, and other scientists, even our local person, Ken Carlone, has been working on that. What it's really saying to us is that it helped us to see that there was a lot of fire in the moist forests, in the old times, and it's not just about you need a major disturbance like a high severity fire, wildfire, or a high severity windblown event. You know, that actually the fire regime has really been disrupted.
I would just add to that, Denise, that the indigenous people did not burn in the height of fire season. The history shows that they burned in what were called the shoulder seasons, which are the fall and the spring, not in fire season, and their fires were much smaller, but there were a lot more of them. And today, with the excess of fuels and the excess of trees after over 100 years of Smokey the Bear and so forth, there needs to be some thinning and some regular regeneration of especially the moist forests to get back to the kind of environment that was there when we were in that pre-contact indigenous period.
And it seems like when we've had forests where, I mean, the fuels have just built up and built up and built up, and when a fire comes, however it starts, accidental or from thunder, lightning, whatever, they burn a lot hotter, and that's where we get the really big mega fires.
Yeah, I think especially if we have wind-driven events, that's been sort of the case. And in the checkerboard, you know, it's really complex because you have, you know, the federal lands, the ONC lands, and you have private lands, industrial lands, state lands, and the tribes even are managing some of those lands now as trust lands. So it's very complex, and that's also what takes our collaborative to look at, and that's part of our innovation, is being able to apply, you know, really reflect and apply strategies that will work for everyone.
One of the terms you guys use that I think might confuse some people if they don't take a moment to really think through it is active conservation.
And we refer to that as active conservation or active conservation management, because what Forest Bridges is proposing is there needs to be some tool for reducing the densities of these forests. And while in the pre-contact indigenous period, maybe Native Americans girdled or used a lot more fires, what we would do is today is we would use harvest, where the thinning, or for what we call variable retention harvest, where you harvest most of the trees but leave legacy trees behind as well in your forest harvest.
And I think there's been some, you know, sometimes these terms, as you know, active management become a dirty phrase, you know, in some circles, but we're adding conservation to be able to say that we're really talking about actively managing for sustainable forests and their habitats. And so we almost could trademark that term in some ways, but it's good to unpack it for the public and let them know what we really mean by it.
So this is just out. Where does the proposal go from here?
Yeah, I mean, as we said, the main audiences are the land management agencies, and they're receiving the proposal now. This week has been our release, and we're sending it through, you know, a lot of channels and having conversations. And so it does go to the BLM and the U.S. Forest Service. I've also been sending it out to our congressional delegation, and some of the work that we had done this past spring with some of the congressional committees, we've also started to develop some relationships there and giving it to them as well.
As Denise mentioned earlier, our work not only involves a change in how the BLM and the Forest Service manage their lands, but it also requires changes in federal laws that govern these federal lands because of the barriers to management that have been created over the years of management under a totally different regime than what we are proposing. But even things as simple as being able to have a prescribed fire in the landscape at the appropriate timing requires changes in our federal laws.
About a minute left on Inside Douglas County, and you have now a dry forest proposal coming up.
Yeah, so our dry forest proposal will focus on the dry forests of the of Southwest Oregon. I did want to mention that the moist forest also has a section in there which is called our transitional forest strategy. And that is the lands, a lot of it in Douglas County, where we have a mix of moist and dry forests depending upon the, you know, the landscape, we'll say, or the way that we're looking at the geography. And so that paper is it's been reviewed and it's in final editing right now. I hope it'll come out in no later than October.
And if people want to find out more about this Moist Forest proposal, where do they get a view of it?
Yeah, please go to forestbridges.org and you can go to the project page and scroll down a little bit. It's right there in the top line of our projects, basically our policy paper area. If you get stuck, send us an email to info@forestbridges.org and check us out on social media. We'll try to track you and find you and respond.
All right, we're out of time for today. From Forest Bridges, Denise Barrett and Rick Sohn. Guys, thanks for coming in.
Thanks so much, Kyle.
Thank you very much.
Really appreciate it.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.